Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on a monster Wednesday. Let's get into it inside of our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. NBA is back. Celtics and the Warriors looking pretty good. Solid starts. 11 games tonight. We'll get into Durant and his post-game interaction early in the show here, Teak. But this is the big story. How are you, by the way? You good?
I'm good, brother.
So ready to launch into this. I almost didn't want to say hi, which I didn't mean
Come
to
on,
do.
Man.
My bad. I got it out. I got you. All right. Manny Machado's had a rough week. Manny Machado's had a very strange week, from basically admitting he's not Johnny Hustle and he's never going to run hard, to last night probably running too hard and maybe trying to make amends for that.
It probably wasn't even running hard, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen. The play with Jesus Aguilar at first base. I want to play the sound from Yelich, who weighed in. And then right after that, guys, just go back-to-back, and then Teak and I will take it back. Yelich, the likely NL MVP, didn't mince words. You got to respect that. Mm-hmm. He put his name on it. And then Machado was asked post-game whether this was dirty. This has been positioned, I believe, quite frankly, wrong by 95% of the people who have weighed in on this topic.
Interesting.
And maybe more. Here's Yelich, then we get to Machado.
We've all grounded out, you know, run through the bag like you've been doing your whole life, like everybody else does. You know, if it's an accident, it's an accident. But from the replay to us, it clearly looks like, you know, you got your way to step on someone, run into somebody. And it just has no place in the game. It really doesn't.
You saw the replay probably, so his foot was in the bag, trying to get over him, hit his foot. That's dirty. I mean, I don't know. Call it what you want.
Okay. There's one side. There's the other side. Nothing really happened. No punching, which is good. Just a little pushing, a little woofing. You don't want to see punches thrown during the postseason.
Bench is cleared, though. Bench is cleared. Mm-hmm. Just stood around, had a conversation.
Where are we going to dinner? Going to ham it up a little bit? Where are we going after the game? Which is not happening in the postseason, by the way. But here's what I got to tell you. I think that, I won't say everybody, most people are so far off on this that my head's spinning all day.
Go ahead. Give it to me, and then I have a question. And then I have a question for you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First of all, you have to look at Aguilar, who's a big guy. Mm-hmm. 6'2", 6'3", 250, and that's he's probably more like 260. He's got heavy feet.
Yeah, he's thick.
He's got heavy feet.
He's thick.
He's like Cecil Fielder or Prince Fielder, probably a little more like Prince. He's got big feet, big legs. First of all, he was on too much of the base, number one. So right away, if you want to start the discussion as to who's wrong, we've got to go to the origin of who was wrong first, all right? At least that's how my mind.
What's on the base? I mean,
you got to run through the base as the base runner. You got to give me the base.
Okay,
you have to.
Go ahead.
All right. So
keep going.
He lingered there. He kept his foot there way too long. Now listen, I will certainly admit,
slow motion. We're watching it in BT,
but it wasn't a close play. It wasn't a bang bang. Okay. If it was close play, I'll grant you a little latitude. Okay. You're a little slow. Yeah, that's just laziness right there on the part of Aguilar.
Faulting him because he's lazy?
Here's the thing.
Slow-footed, heavy-footed?
You played competitively.
Yes, I did.
You are, while you're quiet on the outwardly, you are a fierce warrior inside.
I was.
We all know that. No, you still are. If you wanted to hurt somebody, all right, would you spike them or would you try to trip them? Because here's what nobody said. The rate of speed to go from home to first, while they said Mickey Mantle, everything, of course, yeah, Mickey did it in 3.1 seconds. Sure he did. Ichiro's right around 3.8, 3.9. Billy Hamilton right around 3.7. To think that somebody can orchestrate in their mind, all right, in real time, running from home to first in less than four seconds is unlikely and basically unrealistic.
Yeah.
Now you factor in, well, he wanted to hurt Aguilar. If you're telling me it's dirty, what you're really saying is the intention was to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Because if that's the definition of dirty in my book.
I agree.
Okay.
Agreed. Vontaze Burfict is the perfect example.
Yeah, sure.
He throws an elbow into Antonio Brown's head. He's trying to hurt him.
No doubt.
He's not trying to tackle him.
Yeah. You want to hurt somebody, you do something dirty.
Okay.
And okay. So the physics of the way this play was executed here, but I strongly believe that, first of all, you have to have separation from his play that has been criticized and chastised, and rightfully so in the past, for being dirty. I'm going to get separation just for this one play. I'm not going to lump it all in because people are weighing in, and they're weighing in totality on Machado as the narrative. Specific to this play, it's not dirty. It's Aguilar's fault that his foot is in the middle of the base. Machado's got to touch it. Case closed.
So let me ask you this question because you didn't quite answer it.
Okay.
So I see Manny Machado running down the first baseline. He's clearly inside of the first baseline.
Sure.
So he's there intentionally. He's thinking ahead. It's a routine out. I mean, it's an easy grounder to shortstop. He's not even out of the bag when the ball's in the shortstop's hand. So we know he knows he's out, right?
Which is even more reason Aguilar should be off the base.
I agree. But you can clearly see that Manny Machado, as he gets to the bag, he plants with his right foot, and he drags. Like, he's trying to, like he said, I'm trying to step over the, you know, the first baseman's leg. He's not trying to step over the first baseman's leg.
Know?
He clearly drags his left toe. He drags his toe like he's a wide receiver trying to get in bounds.
Okay.
Right? He drags his toe down. So he can.
He has a little draggage. A little Jesus Aguilar.
We don't mind draggage when it's offensive linemen, you know, planting guys. You know what I'm talking about. But why would he do this? Why? What would be the
reason? Because
Aguilar's
in his way, and I think he was pissed off. Well, he's on the base. The meat of that base belongs to Machado. The first baseman's taught when you're 8 years old.
Yeah,
get the corner of the base. Like Aguilar's position, I don't know exactly where he was at the time of the pitch. He's probably 10 feet to the right of first base.
He's not hustling. He's not hustling to get over there. He's there in plenty of time.
I'm not even going to chastise his hustle. I think he probably did hustle for a man his size. He didn't hustle to get off the base. I do think that he probably hustled to the base. I'll give him that credit. I certainly think that he would. So probably 10 to 12 feet to the right of first base and probably 10 to 12 feet in terms of depth behind first base. As soon as that ball's hit the shortstop, you bust. I don't care if you're fast or slow. You bust to the corner of the bag where they meet at a point.
Mm-hmm.
You put your toe, not your heel, not your fat heel, not your fat instep. You put your toe drag swag, like our buddy Nate Burleson does. Yep. Find a little toe drag swag, put it on the corner of the base, not like that. And as soon as the ball hits the leather, you get off the base.
So
you allow the runner some room to hit the base.
Now, this is an unwritten rule. This is an unwritten rule of baseball. I'm just asking.
No, I think it's more mechanical.
Is this an unwritten rule of baseball where if, as a first baseman, you grab the corner, and that's where you stick your toe, even if you're a half an inch, I mean, as long as you're not like a foot off, as long as you're close enough, the ref's going to give you the umpire's going to give you the benefit of the doubt, right, and it's going to be called an out, correct?
With instant replay, that changes a little bit, but for the most part, yes.
As long as you have contact.
As long as there's just a modicum of contact, you're out. But you've got to maintain it through the play.
Okay, so I ask why Manny Machado dragged his leg, and he clearly drags his leg in order to hit Aguilar's heel.
Yeah, okay.
Why would Aguilar incorrectly put his foot on the bag like that?
Because he was lazy, and you can't penalize me for being lazy. So I can't be victimized in the court of public opinion because you didn't move your fat foot. And because you're lazy.
Now, what happens with this? Nothing?
Nothing's going to happen. MLB might throw Machado if it's 8-1. They might buzz him up and in.
I mean, out of tripping a guy?
But this is what everybody's missing. All I heard today, he was dirty. He's trying to hurt him.
Well, he said he's dirty because
I got to stand up.
Because Christian Yelich said it.
Is this little flick? If I wanted to hurt you and I have spikes on, I'm going to go bang at Ty Cobb. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to... like gingerly, like I'm trying to catch a first down. That's not going to hurt anybody but me.
Yeah.
Because what I could shatter is my tibia.
Mm-hmm.
What I can also do, that's why I pointed out how fast they're running down to first base, at 3.93 seconds, if I trip, I trip myself and I can fall and break my wrist.
I hear you.
Do you really think that Manny Machado calculated this in real time?
Well, Christian,
the answer is no.
People are saying it's dirty because Christian Yelich said it was dirty. Christian Yelich's opinion, this is dirty. And so everybody takes his narrative and runs with it. But you're saying this is not dirty.
I don't think this is dirty at all.
And I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out why he did it.
Well, that I don't have the answer to. All I know is I'm just reacting to the actual visual. Listen, when you're playing first base, if there's a bunt, right, and the catcher fields it, you do this from the time, maybe not when you're five, but when you start playing real baseball and there's bunts, and you have to cover bases, and there's, you know, there's shifts, and there's double plays, and slides, and cutoffs, you know, baseball. When there's a bunt and the catcher fields it, right, say if he fields it in front of home plate, as the first baseman, which is what I played, it's my not like my option, it's my responsibility. I'll yell to my catcher, inside, meaning throw me the ball, and I'll put my left foot on the corner of the base, and I'll say inside, and I'll be like this,
yes.
Right? Now, if it's, and he'll throw it here, hopefully. If he throws it here, that's my problem. I got to get my body out of the way. And if I get hit, that's not on the runner. Mm. He's got to have somewhere to run.
Look, I'm not arguing with you. I just don't
understand. It's amazing how little people know about this.
I think people know about it, but Christian Yelich says it's a dirty play that everybody's going to.
How far away was Christian Yelich when that happened?
I mean,
176 feet?
Yeah, a long way.
Look at your first baseman's fat foot.
A long way.
On the base.
Now, his reaction was right after the game. It wasn't, you know, he didn't have the benefit of replay. I mean, maybe they did because this was in Milwaukee, so maybe they did show the replay over and over and over again, so he saw it up close. But I mean, Manny Machado didn't have to hit him.
That's a different conversation.
He didn't have to.
That's a different conversation.
He didn't have to.
That's a conversation that I can have a nice, calm, civil discourse over.
Now you think there's
whether or not it was egregiously dirty. I can't accept that. Others can.
I don't think there's any downstream, by the way, because they in the 13th when he got on in a single, they kind of like bro hugged it out.
Listen,
it wasn't really a bro hug, but they bro hugged it out
a little bit. Yeah. Aguilar, That's why I don't think that they wanted to fight.
No,
because again, if it was premeditated, or if there was real
great camera work, by the way, here.
But great, terrific, great job, TV,
great
as
job.
Always. If there was a viciousness or really an intent to injure, there, right? Don't you think Machado's, just use common sense, people. If you're riled up and you're fired up and you do something proactively in an aggressive manner,
yeah,
and then somebody calls you on it, aren't you going to go, like, don't you think you're going to kind of be ready to battle? Not like, dude, you know, like,
oh, it helps that they knew each other.
Congruent with his emotion did not fit what many people are positioning him to have done. And, you know, listen, I can't waste time over sloppy analysis. A lot of people have this wrong.
Right.
I don't care if you played Major League Baseball.
It's funny. You didn't play first base. I thought your reaction.
Unless Sean Casey says it.
I thought your reaction was going to be the opposite.
What?
I thought you were going to get on Manny Machado for being a knucklehead, being an idiot.
Well, he is a knucklehead. But that's, that's a different conversation.
So the why and what's really inside the mind of Manny Machado is a different conversation. Specifically, this play, not dirty. This is on Aguilar, you're saying.
I believe it's much more on Aguilar. Just physics, right? Just in terms of, like, just not so much physics, but spacing.
I wish I could read lips in Spanish. Because there's talking Spanish.
Yeah, he's probably saying, what are you doing? Why are you kicking me? And Machado probably said, because your fat foot was in my way. Spacing is a better term, right? So just look at this. If you want, I wear a size 12, all right?
Yeah.
If you just think about a first base bag, Aguilar, I don't know what size width he has, but it's pretty sizable. Maybe he's a size 11, maybe he's a size 12. Think about the space that Machado, I know I'm beating this to a bloody pulp,
you
but
are.
This really annoys me here because it's so misreported. Where is he supposed to step? If he steps too, well, everyone's like, well, he's, and this part, I can see why people would say, well, he's too far to the inner part of first base, go out to the right. Yeah, and then he risks his,
yeah,
Machado's
ankle.
Right foot,
you're right,
hitting the edge,
yeah, so
and rolling his ankle.
To your point, as a runner, especially going beating it down the first baseline, which is different than making the turn on second and or third or getting home.
Correct.
Beating down the first baseline. Not that Manny Machado is hustling down the first baseline, but still, principles. Beating down the first baseline, you have to step on the meat of the bag.
The meat of the 100. Well said.
Because who did we
100%.
See? 100%. This happened a couple of years ago. I forgot who it was. Runner missed the meat, stepped on the outside, and fractured his ankle. So there's many ways that you can hurt yourself.
That's not a pliable bait. This isn't Ty Cobb sliding into a little, you know, mesh bean bag.
And it's slick.
It is slick. Last night it wasn't slick because it wasn't wet, but it does get very slick. And, you know, back in the day, you know, Ty Cobb, I keep saying Ty Cobb could slide. And number one, there was a pliability to the bag.
Yeah,
it was like
give.
A bean bag.
It would give.
It would give in terms of like the composition of the bag, but it also gave in the direction of the bag because it was nailed with, it was like these little metal spikes, whatever. I know I'm getting too minutia driven here, but I can't tell you how much this bothered me.
I
watched all morning. I had to go to the home today, check out the construction site. I'm in the car for an hour each way, and I listened to people that I really like, know, and respect. And nobody got this right. It's absolutely amazing to me how many people butchered this.
Well, you heard it
and
right
now everybody's saying, they're saying now, as they, I still don't believe that people agree with me, and I don't really care. They're saying, you're the one who's butchering it. That's fine.
By the way,
you say whatever you want.
By the way, it was a great game. And also, Manny Machado scored the game-winning run in the 13th.
And it's going to be a great series. I'm going to stick by Brewers in seven, but this thing's got some length to it, which is pretty phenomenal. All right, I'm not going to complain about this anymore, but I would love to hear from you on Twitter. Get some calls, 855-212-4227. Now we got to get to this coming up next here on the show. One game in, and Kevin Durant is already showing some signs of cracking. Didn't like the questions already about free agency.
BT's making a big deal out of this. I think KD has it right.
Oh, do I sense a little disagreement?
We're going to disagree on this one. Why do I have the basketball in front of me today, by the way?
Because D-Cell's head is in the clouds, probably. Or no, you didn't do it. Who did it? You did it? Well, then what are you shrugging your shoulders for?
What's the difference if the basketball's on that side?
Well, he's the football player, is what he's saying.
This dude wants to be a GM of an NBA team.
You know, that's, it's funny you say that because I looked over my laptop and I noticed that like a second before the show. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. And you noticed it too. Fix these. All right. So we'll get to the Durant stuff. Inbounds, out of bounds as well. Great show for you. Bosa entering the NFL draft. You and I will have a long conversation about that, what it means for the state of college football, others who might follow suit. So we got a great show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. All right, news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Good stuff out of the chute. You guys are really weighing in nicely on social media. The Machado stuff, at Tiki and Tierney. We'll get these calls here. Series XM 206.
BT, if you had played left field, would you have the same opinion?
I would, because I believe that logic applies. Yes, I would.
I mean, this is clearly personal. I can feel it in you. You know what I mean? Because you played first base, and if you were Jesus Aguilar, you would have done it the right way, so it wouldn't even have happened.
Not to be Mr. Literal here, but to me, personal would be is if I'm a Brewers fan. It's personal. You got my guy. It's dirty.
Relative.
I believe it's just more
relatively
about
personal.
Look at your tweet, man.
I played first base my whole life. Mm-hmm. If it's my responsibility to remove my foot from the bag or move my body out of the first base line in an errant throw to avoid being run into, the onus, is that the right word?
Yeah, onus. The onus.
Is that how you spell
onus.
It?
Yeah, the response.
Yes. I don't think I've ever known how to spell onus. I'd say that. I would have said O-N-O-U-S.
And kept auto-spelling. Like, I'm like, that's how you spell it. It's H-O-N-U-S. What's going
the
on?
The onus is on the first baseman to get out of the way. So many people are missing the point with Machado.
Yeah, I believe that they are. I mean, to think that, you know, he's going to put his tibia in jeopardy or he's nimble enough or...
It could just be an emotional knucklehead.
Again, two separate conversations. He could be both. 855-212-4227.
Not mutually exclusive opinions.
They're not. Here's what we'll do with Durant, because this stuff, you guys really want to weigh in. We will push Durant back to 3:40 Eastern, so we'll do a full segment here. We'll get calls. We'll let you weigh in on the Machado stuff, and then we'll do Durant a full 20-minute block coming up after this. Good? All right, man, let's hit it. Let's start with Nick is in Wisconsin. Nick is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Nick, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Good, man.
Okay, first of all, I love the show. You guys are great. I listen to you every day. So I am from Wisconsin, so I'm a little biased here. I'll give that. And BC, I usually am pretty on plane with your opinion when it comes to sports. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is my homer in me getting to me, but well, I might agree that it wasn't necessarily dirty. Don't you think, then I guess my question is, what was it? Like, what was his goal, or what did he, because it's clearly intentional. Whether it was dirty or not, I guess I don't know what on earth he's trying to accomplish by doing that.
Maybe draw an interference call?
And that's what I was kind of getting at when I asked you the same question. Like, what would have happened if there was...
I mean, there's not interference in the bases where during rundowns, if you impede the path of a runner, like if I'm going to run down between first and second or any base, and block me.
Yeah, exactly. After I've already let go of the ball.
You get the base.
Yeah.
You got to give away. I don't know what his purpose was. And to be fair, Nick, I'm not pretending to know what his purpose is. I'm just trying to differentiate or at least have a little separation from his dirty history, which is with merit.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely earned that dirty moniker as a player. But I don't think that last night was dirty. And I'm going to separate the two. That's all. That's the only difference for me.
And by the way, it happened in the series already. Slide in the second. Where with his spikes up. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean.
No, he's had some incidents. He threw a bat. Basically, almost threw a bat at somewhat threw a bat at somebody. He's had some flare-ups. He's charged the mound. He's a hot-tempered guy. He is. That's why that reaction there is not usually reflective. He's pointing to the base. That's what he's saying. He's pointing to, like, he is trying to take, I believe, out of respect to Aguilar, to go out of his way to show that he's not, I mean, that is not, if America thinks that that's dirty, we are softer than I thought we were. And we've become pretty soft. If that's dirty, oh, God, we got problems, man. I'm not saying it's fully, but dirty?
Unnecessary, but not dirty.
Big difference. Eric is in Des Moines, Iowa. What's up, Eric? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, what's going on, bud?
Hey, BT, Tiki, how you doing, guys?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
What's up?
Excellent. Fantastic show.
Thanks, Eric.
BT, you're missing the boat on this deal.
Okay,
here's
talk
the
to
thing.
Me. Good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's got, let's say it's not dirty. I'll spot you that. But you've got to account for the stuff he's already done and previous, so
why?
He doesn't get
why?
The benefit
why?
Of the doubt.
Why?
It's like, let me ask you this one.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
He tripped.
Good example.
Five different guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After the second time, third time, you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore.
It's true. No. Somebody should have popped Grayson Allen.
Even if it was accidental. You know what I mean?
Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
I don't get
the benefit of that. That may have been accidental, or you've thrown out the window with your previous stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this.
Does that make?
It makes complete sense. It's logical. I don't necessarily subscribe fully to that line of thinking. I think as a general description of people's actions, I do, but specific to Machado.
Yeah.
And he brings up Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen did the same thing five times.
Yeah.
Machado, they've been four or five different things.
Well, here's the thing with Grayson Allen is that it was clearly an emotional outburst.
Five times?
But an emotional outburst representing a flaw in his basketball character to lash out when something goes wrong for him.
Okay.
Right? Whereas with this Manny Machado situation, this one specifically, I'm not talking about him going in with his spikes up and everything else that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
This one specific, it's almost like he's enforcing the rules of baseball, like get out of the base path type of thing, right? So his charge is not his emotions. His charge is the unwritten rules of baseball.
So he's a baseball martyr now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in a sense, right?
Let's canonize him.
That's your reasoning for why this
part
is okay.
That's a big part of it. I mean, I say this with a smile, but get your fat foot out of the way.
Like nothing.
Get
Grayson,
it out of the way.
To use the Grayson Allen example, nothing he did are you in baseball or in a basketball move or, you know what I mean? There's
True.
Nothing that
you
he
can't
did.
Even try to explain
no,
it away.
He just was like, I'm tripping you. Tripping you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Period.
It's
maybe
not like
maybe nobody's going to see me, even though we're on national television.
But that's an important point.
Slow motion, everything else.
That's an important point. It's not like, you know, he was trying to go from point A to point B, and you can maybe position it like, well, Grayson Allen's foot got tripped up with so-and-so. No. He was on his behind. He failed. He got beat or whatever. He got fouled or he got beaten defensively. And his response was to stick his foot up and trip somebody.
Yeah.
They weren't vying for the same space like they were here. And I think that that's a really big difference. How about Eric in Green Bay? Eric is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Eric? How are you today?
Appreciate the vine, guys. So I'm going to kind of sum of everything that's been said. You know, I can see all the different arguments. The dirty play, you know, I'm not going there with it. We're not talking about a guy seeing somebody's hand down in football and he comes over and stomps on his hand.
Yep.
You know, that's dirty. What I see this as is, Jesus, you know, hey, it was kind of cocky. It was kind of showboating in the sense of, like, got the out. He's on the middle of the bag. Mm-hmm. Pull your foot off the bag. You put yourself in that situation for something to go down. Machado, mm-hmm. the worst play that he's done is grabbing the shortstop's leg on a double play. The umpires took care of it.
Yeah.
They rang him up. Double play. We're going to correct that. That was Bush. The kick in the ankle, I think that's Machado's frustration. You know, I wouldn't like it. I played some baseball. Get your foot out of the way. Yeah, you got me out. You don't need to hang it out there. It's, you know, it was showboating in that sense of, we got you out and get out of my way, and you're going to leave that there. You're leaving the door open for me to kick you.
Yeah.
Dirty would be if he stomped down on that Achilles with his cleats and there's an injury and now there's a fight.
There you go.
That would have been dirty.
All right, so we're on the same page.
Kind of Bush.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because now you rewatch it a couple times. You see Jesus, his reaction more. He just kind of holds the ball there.
Like, yes.
He's standing there on purpose.
But don't you think that I've incorporated all of this before I got on the air today?
Of course.
This is all part of my – but everybody
gets focused on the actual act, on the moment
because
when
very
Manny
few
Machado's
people play
ankle.
Competitively. That's why. Very few people with a microphone played anything competitively.
No, you're right.
I'm not putting myself in your – I mean, no, please. Right. I mean, you're a 10, I'm a 1.
Yeah, but baseball's a different physicality. It's a different expected physicality in football than there is in baseball.
But there's also got to be a different scale of what's truly dirty and what's just a little unnecessary. Yeah, you want to say it's unnecessary? All right. Did you have to do it? No. Could he have gone 6 inches to the right? Yes. Maybe risk bending his own ankle? Sure, I guess. Get your fat foot out of the way. I mean, that's the theme of the show. You got fat feet, move them.
You've been getting tweets commenting on the fat feet in the way. Come on, Jesus.
People laughing at that. And I love him. I think he's so good for baseball. But move your foot. All right, Teek. Let's get the update here from Jay Berman. Coming up. Man, he might be the best player in the world.
Stop.
Already tapping the brakes.
I'm tapping your brakes for you.
Okay.
I got the brake on the passenger side, and you're the
driver end guy.
You're the student driver. I'm tapping the brakes for you
already.
On this one.
We got to get to Durant here, who had an interesting post game exchange about his future. There's 81 more of these he's got to deal with. Durant's cracking a little bit. We'll get to it. Jay Berman's updates right now. Here's Jay. All right, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Let's get to Kevin Durant, but first up, time to answer, give you a chance to actually answer. Okay, let's come down three.
Coming out of three.
Well worked up over this fat foot thing here. Ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. That was horrific. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. We'll answer the best one. So, at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day.
Ken Rosenthal just reported via Twitter, Manny Machado has been fined an undisclosed amount.
That's
will
a
not
complete
be
overreaction.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
I agree. He'll appeal and get his money back.
That's a joke. And I never waste time on defending players when it comes to any sort of like monetary loss of fine. What are you making enough? I don't care about like suspensions. I'll weigh in on.
Yeah.
But if that is just that is so hyper reactive. That's ridiculous.
He's responding. I'm finding you because Christian Yelich says you're a dirty player.
The NL MVP, soon to be. The NBA Finals MVP, 2 years in a row with a couple championships. Kevin Durant's stint in the Bay Area has been pretty damn good. And after one game, although they didn't run away from the Thunder without Westbrook, they won by 8.
Yeah, I was surprised.
You know what it is, Teek? You get the rings, you're distracted.
Yeah, but Westbrook's not even playing.
No, I hear you.
It was surprising because I didn't stay up for that whole game. I went to bed.
Yeah.
It was in hand. I go to bed. I'm like, yeah, 1-8.
I was a little surprised by that, too. I hear you, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, a little distraction from the ring ceremony. But Durant was his usual Durant self, pumped in 27 points, had 8 rebounds, 6 dimes, right? Now, for those of you who missed it, he was introduced last during the ring ceremony, which is incredibly symbolic because that spot's always been reserved for Steph Curry,
right,
who was there from day one, part of the organic rebuild as a draft pick. Of course, Durant came there as a free agent. So after the game, it was a very good question. This was from Yahoo. We don't have the audio because it was a one-on-one with Yahoo, the only reason we're not playing it. But he was asked about this. Let's see here. And he was asked about being announced last. Durant responded by saying, I don't know, what do you think? And then the reporter followed up by asking if it meant anything special. And then he said, you asked the question like it did. Durant replied, no, it didn't. Okay. Automatically, little tense tone here, trying to establish the the foundation. We're not going through this song and dance every night. Here's the full quote. I want people to focus on basketball. Not basically, he's directing people what to do. I want people to focus on basketball. Focus on what goes on the court. I know it's hard to keep up with it. I know it's easy to look at that type of bleep because it's the entertainment side. But wait until the season's over to analyze free agency. All right. Then he says, I know it's your job. So he gives him a list. So he's not being, totally confrontational. But he said, what I said at Media Day, I understand your job, but let's come to a little agreement. Don't ask me every time you see me. If it's the first time I'm seeing y'all, I don't mind answering it. But every time, come on, bro. So he is trying to establish a tone to the season.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And he should. Look, the NBA Finals is in June. So 8 months from now, Kevin Durant will have to figure out what he's doing free agency-wise. And I think out of respect to his team and his teammates and what they're trying to accomplish, which is a three-peat, by the way, which just doesn't happen. You know, it's happened a few times. It just doesn't happen. A three-peat for this Golden State Warriors team, the last thing that his teammates need to be reading in the local newspaper or hearing on national news discussing the NBA is Kevin Durant wants to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Or he's not going to the Lakers, but you know what I mean. Kevin Durant wants to go take his MVP caliber play to the New York Knicks. He doesn't need to hear that.
Where's going
to
go, by the way? But keep going.
But his teammates don't need to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I think he recognizes that. Okay. And so I get his frustration. And it's funny because I remember my last season when this is no comparison, but it is a similar comparison. When I knew I was retiring and it came out, everybody knew I was.
I remember this.
Right?
Big story.
The questions kept happening. Uh-huh. Well, you know, what happens next year if you did? I'm like, who cares? I have a game to, like, whenever. On Sunday, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to make the postseason at the end of the season. Those type of questions don't do anything good for me. They don't do anything good for the organization. They don't do anything good for this team. And I think that's what Kevin Durant is getting at. It's coming off as frustration towards those guys, but mm-hmm. it's really, he just doesn't want to have the conversation. And I don't blame him.
Okay. Do me a favor. Let's play a little role play for a second.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be Kevin Durant, okay. and you be the reporter.
Okay. Hey,
you look
Kevin.
Like a reporter, by the way. You look like a reporter from the 50s, actually. Like the 30s.
I just need the tie.
Yeah.
I need the tie, and I don't have my jacket
get
on.
Get Whitlock's hat that he wears on the skit that he does press. It with the feather. The press
Whitlock
thing.
Telling people to get off Vontaze Burfict. That was a dirty hit.
That's what he was doing
That's
today.
What he was doing today. I'm like, come on. It was dirty.
I don't care about that, right?
I don't
care about Durant. So, I'm Kevin Durant.
Mr. BT Durant. Are you thinking about where you're going to play next year? I know we just finished game one and you're 1-0, but are you thinking about where you're going to play next year?
Nah, man.
It's reported that your deal, which is uncertain right now with the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, we know you want to get a three-peat, but mm-hmm. Where are you going to play next year?
Yo, what's up, honey? I'll be there a couple minutes. I got you.
Kevin, I don't know how else to ask you this, but mm-hmm. Do you want to finish your career with the
Yo,
Golden
Steph,
State
I'll
Warriors?
I'll be right there. Hang on.
Mr. Durant, you're ignoring my questions. Can you tell us what your intentions are for next year or the year after?
Well, listen, you guys know my contract. I'm a free agent. You know, I've got, but I'm here to win. That's it. And out of respect to my teammates, I don't want to talk about this.
That's how we should have handled it.
But he didn't say that. That's why I did the role play.
But that's what he kind of did.
No, he didn't do that at all. It was like this antagonistic, not threatening, but this passive aggressive. Just all you got to say is, you want to defuse it? Hey, I'm a Warrior. I've been here 2 years. I got two chips. I got a great locker room full of guys. Pretty soon, Boogie's coming in, and we're going to have to gel, and the goal is to win a championship. You know when I'll be a free agent. We'll address it at that point. Thank you, guys. I got to roll. Hmm. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
What's so hard about
but
that?
But he's sitting in a one-on-one. It's a little bit different. And so whoever...
You can still say the same thing.
I agree. But he's sitting in a one-on-one, so it's a little bit different. You know how these conversations work when it's one-on-one versus a pool of reporters talking. When it's a pool of reporters, you respond like this so that nobody follows up. You know what I mean? So
yeah, because people are barking stuff at.
Yeah, someone's going to ask the same question.
Stuff out.
Yeah, somebody will ask this in a pool, mm-hmm. will ask the same question a different way.
Sure.
Six times.
Yeah.
And that's when you respond like this. This was a one-on-one, which makes it even more interesting.
I agree. Right. So it could have been a totally different presentation.
Yes.
If he was peppered eight times with this or five times on opening night when we got our championship ring, all right, I'll certainly grant him a little leeway to get a little ticked off and maybe be a little tersier. But it was a one-on-one, be cordial and say, hey.
But what we don't know, BT, is if he's heard this for the last week in their media availability on a day-to-day basis. You know what? We cover this from a national perspective. So we dive in at this point.
Yeah.
But yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
Yeah.
He could have been getting hammered with the same thing.
I hear
even
you.
Before the season
I understand
started.
That.
The same thing over and over. It's like, dude, just shut up. I want to play and I want to win for the Golden State Warriors right now. Well, we have a great opportunity to win back-to-back-to-back championships in four out of the last five. Right. So please be quiet about where I'm going to be in 2019-2020.
I'm cool with that. I think that's a very fair take. By the way, let's see here. Kevin Durant's brother weighed in a little bit here with an interesting IG post.
Siblings of superstars should not have social media accounts, by the way.
Can't disagree with that, or at least have responsible takes or whatever. But there's a picture of Kevin Durant, all right, and he's got his hands up with the rings on him now. And Kevin Durant's brother said, yes, sir, this is on his account. Yes, sir, brother. Filling the hand up before we get up out of here. Now, that's not going to spark a little conversation.
Of course it is.
Listen, I believe that Kevin Durant is absolutely going to leave the Warriors. My only question is, does he open Chase Arena in downtown San Francisco? Because he was there for he was part of the ceremonial shovel, the groundbreaking ceremony, I should say. So I believe maybe there's a little emotional investment there. And if he helps open that building because it's not pre-existing, he's on the same level, if you will, even though he's better than Steph Curry. It's now equally his building, unlike Oracle, which was Durant's, which was KD's, was Steph Curry's first.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? And I didn't even think about this until you just brought this up. Let's say that KD bounces after this season. They win a three-peat. Let's say he's even the three-time finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If he leaves again after being here for 3 years, right, and we already know his history with OKC, just unbelievably successful. He got to the Western Conference Finals, never really made it to the. Although he did make it one time to the finals, but you did they make it?
Yes,
yeah, they did make it one time to the finals. Where does he belong if he goes somewhere else? You know what I mean? Like where is his home? Where is his statue? Where does it go?
I got you.
Where does it go? I didn't think about that until you mentioned opening the new stadium.
It's a very transient career.
Because if he stays,
mm-hmm.
if he commits himself for the long haul to Golden State, who knows what that looks like, but I don't think it's going to happen either, like you, then his statue goes in San Francisco.
That's right.
Right, he's sure. one of the best players in the history of that franchise
one of the best players in the history of the state.
Exactly,
that because Joe Montana,
because of the championships,
Barry Bonds,
because of the championships and the commitment.
Yeah.
Now, if he bounces and he goes to New York, helps build them. Maybe they win a champion. Maybe they don't. Who knows? He becomes an interest. He becomes maybe more. I don't know. I can't think of the right word.
Sure. Are you saying that it will take a hit? His legacy. He'll be
it becomes so dispersed. You don't know. You don't know where he lives.
That's true.
And now it's different than LeBron.
How's it different than LeBron?
Because LeBron was from Akron, Ohio, from Northeast Ohio, and he spent so much of his career in Ohio. And he goes to Miami because he wanted to win some championships. But he came back home and won one. This is different, right?
Yeah, it's different.
KD's not home, and he's not.
No.
It's interesting to think about where he could end up, and where if he ends up somewhere else. How he's ultimately perceived.
It's a great question, Teak, and it's fascinating to see this play out. You know what I think a lot of people ignore, too? You know, we fixate on what will Durant's legacy be, like, if he goes to another team? Like, if he elevates, say if he gets the Knicks to the NBA Finals but doesn't win. Like, there's achievement in that based on how terrible they've been for 20 years outside of the one good season, that it could elevate him almost as high as a championship, but I think what also can really elevate him would be if he leaves the Warriors, say if they win this year, 3 years with Golden State, three championships. If he leaves, the first year he leaves, they don't win a championship in a way, and I don't think that they would.
Yeah.
Because the league's changing.
You're right.
Then all of a sudden you're like, wow. So maybe they didn't need Durant initially. But as he got a little deeper into this Golden State career, they did need him, and it's proven out by the fact that the first year without him, they didn't win. So, he's got a complex.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy. That's for sure. All right. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tweets are on fire. Let's get some more calls. 855-212-4227. bounce in college to get ready for the pros. It's kind of like a job interview. So why is Bosa wrong? We'll get to that coming up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.